Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, May 22nd. Truckers struggle with diesel prices. Falling number of refineries, much greater demand cited, by Rob Campbell. If you're going anywhere in a diesel truck these days, you'd better take a lot of cash or a credit card with a high limit because the price of a gallon is even higher than gasoline. It has different changed the way everything is working, Trans-Pecos Trucking Operators, Mike Wall said. I don't know of anybody personally, but I keep hearing that quite a few operators have gone belly up. A year ago, it was $3.19 a gallon, and now it's $5.09. 2 weeks ago, it was $5.51. Sometimes I don't get loads because I bid too high, but I want to go in the hole. It's killing over-the-road haulers. The national average price of gas Tuesday was $4.483 per gallon. While Wall's five 18-wheeler trucks, each carrying 300 gallons, it now cost over $1,500 to fill them up. Getting about 6 miles a gallon and idling the engines all night as the drivers sleep, refueling is a constant necessity. Based at 255 Georgia Street on Odessa North Side, Trans-Pecos has two trucks in Dickinson, North Dakota, May 11th. With the war in Ukraine, I don't see it getting any better in the future except maybe by a small percentage, Wall said. There are also a lot of political things going against the oil companies. They're leery of borrowing millions or billions for drilling because we have an administration that's hell-bent on green energy. I'm all for saving the planet, but who knows what the answer is. Mark Finley, a fellow in energy and global oil at the Baker Institute of Public Policy at Rice University in Houston, attributes the price to a number of refinery closures worldwide and in the United States and a big jump in demand for refined products as the pandemic waned. The global refining system has become stretched, Finley said. This has pushed us refining margins at the cost to refined products in general have risen more sharply than crude oil prices. Russia exports not only crude oil, but what also the world's second largest exporter of refined products after the U.S. The single largest refined product exported from Russia was diesel, while their primary market for diesel exports was Europe. The market for diesel, as for crude oil, is global. So a disruption anywhere drives prices higher everywhere. Dave Musgrave, general manager of E.L. Farmer & Company at 1002 South County Road West, said rampaging expenses are combining with a shortage of drivers to make conditions extremely challenging. We're all in the same boat, Musgrave reported. 30% of our revenues are going to fuel. We're running 100 owner-operated trucks, but could use another 25. We had a limit of 700 or 750 a day on fuel cards we supplied our drivers, but we had to raise it to $1,000 so they could fill their 200 to 250-gallon tank all the way up. Sometimes it takes over $1,000. I've never seen prices this high, he said. The last peak was $425 or $450 in 2017 or 18, but this one seems to have more staying power. Musgrave confirmed that some trucks are giving up. Guys are selling their trucks and getting out of the business, he said. Have a flat on the side of the road, and it costs twice as much to get the tire man to come out. Local news roundup. Man killed in early morning crash. An Odessa man was killed in an early morning rollover Saturday. According to the Odessa Police Department, Micah Warmack was traveling south on Golder Avenue in his Dodge Ram 1500 around 2:30 a.m. when the truck left the roadway, hit a guardrail, and rolled. Womack was alone and was thrown from the truck and pronounced dead on the scene. An investigation into the cause of the crash is underway. Odessa woman in attack on common law husband. An Odessa woman was arrested Wednesday afternoon after officers investigating a disturbance at her home said she repeatedly tried to attack her common law husband despite their presence. According to an Odessa Police Department report, upon arrival at the couple's house at the 1400 block of Patton, Officers learned Lizette Maria Suarez Gonzalez's common-law husband was in the process of moving out of their home because he has a new girlfriend in Cuba. Officers described Gonzalez as being in an extreme rage. Gonzalez said she was going to kill her ex, and she flew from the officers into the kitchen and opened a drawer containing several large knives, the report stated. After reaching into the drawer, Gonzalez said she was going to kill herself, too. While being escorted out of the house, she continued to try to reach for her former husband, the report stated. Gonzalez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and booked into the Ector County Jail. She was released Friday after posting $25,000 security bond. Texas to resume grading schools based on STAR results, by Brian Lopez, the Texas Tribune. For the first time since the pandemic began, Texas public schools will be rated based on how students score on the State of Texas Assessment for Academic Readiness, more commonly known as the annual STAR test. It's the latest big step towards normalcy for the state's 8,866 public schools, which includes 786 charter schools since the COVID-19 pandemic forced school closures in early 2020. But this year's ratings have come with few changes. For this year only, schools will receive an A through C rating. District and schools that score D or F will receive a not rated label instead. Schools who fail in those bottom tiers will also evade possible sanctions from the Texas Education Agency during the 2022-2023 school year. The news comes as thousands of students in grades 3 through 12 are taking the exam this spring. Last year, students had the option to take the STAR test, and results were not held against them or the district. The ratings, those letter grades, affixed on school buildings across the state are typically released by the state Texas Education Agency in August. But when the coronavirus began appearing in the United States more than 2 years ago, schools were shut down as a result. Standardized testing, school testing, was canceled for the year. The new A through C rating this year will allow districts that still have a D or F from 2019 to have a shot at getting the better grade. Schools and districts are graded on three criteria: student achievement, student progress, and how well the school is closing its learning gap. Student achievement and progress weighs the most that STAR results are how the agency measures progress. Students are tested on different subjects: reading, math, science, and social studies. Side note, the story has been edited for length. Death notices. Leonella Reese Villa, Odessa. Leonella Reese Villa, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, May 18th, in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 24th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Visitation will be held at Odessa Funeral Home on Monday, May 23rd, from 11 to 9 p.m. Burial will follow at Ector County, a peaceful garden. Father Carlos Rodriguez is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home, 7511 of Odessa, Texas. Diamond Michelle Royal, Midland. Diamond Michelle Royal, 6 weeks, of Midland, died Wednesday, May 11th, in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m., Tuesday, May 24th, at American Heritage. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Lavonda Johnson Lee is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage of Midland. Obituaries. Richard Eugene Swain. Karnak. Richard Eugene Swain went to be with our Heavenly Father Friday, May 6. He passed away at his residence in Karnak, Texas. Richard was born December 1, 1953, to the late Bob Swain and Geraldine Stach in Midland, Texas. He was raised in West Texas, later moving to Lovington, New Mexico, where he graduated high school and met the late Janice Wechter. In 1976, Richard and Janice moved to Odessa, Texas, where they married and started a family. Throughout the years, Richard enjoyed hunting, fishing, and camping with the family. Some of our fondest memories were made of camping at Oak Creek. He was known for his work ethic and his love for the oil field. He retired from Lantern Drilling Company in 2018 as a drilling superintendent. Richard is preceded in death by his parents, Bob Swain and Geraldine Statch, brother Mark Smith, former wife and cherished friend, Janice Swain. Those left to cherish his memory are his son, John Swain of Bastrop, Texas, Sam Swain and wife, Cassandra of Burleson, Texas, brother J.B. Swain of Maybank, Texas, nephews. A memorial service will be held at Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park in Lubbock, Texas, Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m. with Brother Bill Titus officiating, followed by a cremation burial service at Rest Haven Cemetery.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, May 23rd. Team effort. Multi-classroom leaders find unique niche. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Interested in making a larger impact, Karen Vickery, a Wilson and Young Medal of Honor middle school at Sydney Garcia and Pease Elementary, made the leap from classroom teachers to multi-classroom leaders. The position, through opportunity culture, gives them a chance to teach in the classroom and mentor their peers. Hector County ISD Executive Director for Talent Development, Ashley Osborne, said the district has 49 MCLs at 17 elementary, middle, and high school campuses. Campuses perform a redesign of their opportunity culture plan every year, where they can determine the structure of opportunity culture based on campus need, data, and context. Quote, next year, we are looking to add around 20 additional MCLs. Additionally, we will have 20 campuses utilizing the opportunity culture model, Osborne said in an email. Vickery, who teaches 6th grade English, and Garcia, who teaches 2nd, are the only multi-classroom leaders on their respective campuses. Quote, it's the ideal job, Vickery said. I was a classroom teacher in ECISD for 1 year and was quickly promoted to several curriculum positions, reading specialists, curriculum facilitator. I've been a math and science instructional specialist, campus coach. All of those positions are wonderful, and you can help coach and influence teachers, but there's no power in being a teammate, end quote. Quote, the difference in this position and the positions that I held before, as far as supporting teachers, is I was a stronger coach and mentor to my peers when I was actually in the classroom. When I'm in the trenches, when I'm digging through the tough stuff with the teachers, makes you a little more credible. You can recognize hurdles and hiccups quickly when you're the one that's truly sharing in that, Vickery added. When she's in the classroom, she's able to show teachers how to be successful versus sitting in an office, coming into the classroom and telling teachers how to be successful. Quote, when the position came up about the multi-classroom leader, I felt like it was the best of both worlds because you could still teach, but I can still influence and coach and help lead the teachers and learn from them as well. There's a lot to be learned. Nobody knows it all. So I like being able to work with the teachers where we're at. It just definitely buys a little more credibility, I think, with the team. End quote. When the idea of opportunity culture first came up, it was very appealing, but she was skeptical. Quote, I thought, okay, where's the other shoe? What's the trick? I kept waiting for it to come in, and it is as cut and dry as it sounds. When I realized, wait a minute, I can focus on one grade level, one content area, and do for them what I have done for entire campuses, 3 grade levels, every content area. It got me very excited when I realized the amount of energy that I could put into one small team of teachers, and again, still be able to work with 12-year-olds and still be able to help teachers. It's a beautiful spot, Vickery added. Vickery has been in education for 20 years working in two states, New Mexico and Texas, and four school districts. She has taught elementary, middle school, special education, and various curriculum roles. Vickery grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and went to Amarillo College and West Texas A&M University in Canyon, earning a degree in interdisciplinary studies. She recently graduated with an education law degree from the Shepherd Broad College of Law at Nova Southeastern University. She added that she is not only sold on her position, but Wilson and Young as a campus. Quote, "This is the job I've looked for my entire career," Vickery said. She added that she doesn't have any educators in her family, but she was surrounded by talented people early in her career. When she was at WT, they had a Grow Your Own Teacher program. Quote, "I was adopted by a campus who for 2 years nurtured me and grew me. Not one person, not one mentor, but an entire campus investing in me. By the time I graduated and became a first-year teacher, much like my current teacher resident this year, I graduated and became a direct co-worker with the person that had been my mentor for 2 years. So I still had that strong support from her. And much like my teacher resident, we've already confirmed employment for her. She'll be right across the hall from me as my teammate next year. So I kind of paid some of that forward," Vickery said. Garcia taught at Hayes STEAM Academy and was there from her student teaching days until last year. She is now at Pease Elementary. Quote, "I was looking into the multi-classroom leader role because it was a pipeline for teachers to be able to stay in the classroom but be able to move up to where you teach part of the day and then you coach other teachers the rest of your day," Garcia said. Quote, "I knew that I wanted to go into leadership. I was working on my master's degree to get my principal's certification, and I didn't think it was fair to go straight from the classroom into an assistant principal role without having the experience of leading other adults. So whenever I saw the MCL, multi-classroom leader, pop up, it was really intriguing because I stayed in the classroom, but I also got to experience leading other teachers and coaching them," she added. She noted that opportunity culture was only available at certain campuses. Quote, "So in looking for that MCL role, I knew I'd have to leave to a new campus, and that's how I ended up here at Pease, and I've absolutely loved it," she added. She also loves being an MCL so far. Quote, "The biggest challenge for me was realizing that adults are so much different than kids in the aspect of building relationships and getting them to trust you and getting them to be comfortable with you coming into their classroom and watching them teach and then sitting down and having a conversation with them about how you can improve your teaching practices," Garcia said. Quote, "It's never about the teacher personally. It's about making their teaching practices better. I feel like that was the hardest shift," Garcia added. She had never been an instructional coach, so moving from students to students and adults was interesting. Quote, "But I've grown immensely, and I feel like I made the right decision moving into an MCL position before pursuing an assistant principal position," Garcia said. Pease has about 600 students in pre-kindergarten through second grade. Born and raised in Odessa, Garcia said this is her fifth year in education. She is a product of Ector County ISD and graduated from Odessa High School. She then went to Odessa College and University of Texas Permian Basin, where she earned a bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary studies, early childhood through sixth grade. She earned a master's degree from UT Arlington in educational leadership and got her principal certification and plans to start work on a doctorate to earn a superintendent certification. Quote, and next year, I'll actually be transitioning to the assistant principal here at Pease, Garcia said. She added that the assistant principal and principal's roles are shifting to where it's no longer just discipline and management. Quote, it's going inside the classrooms and supporting teachers and helping them to strengthen their pedagogy so that it's creating better student achievement, student data, and it's not all on that teacher. They're getting support to get them where they need to be, she added. She is the only MCL at Pease, and she has a teacher resident. Quote, it's like a student teacher, but she stays with me the entire year. She's actually getting paid through her residency this semester, this whole entire year versus a student teacher where you stay in the classroom for 14 weeks and you don't get paid and then you're thrown into the classroom, Garcia said. Quote, she's been allowed to be in the classroom this whole year. It's her classroom as well. We've gotten to work together. I get to coach her, and she gets to receive feedback. We get to plan together, and she gets to understand what being a teacher is before being thrown in after 14 weeks, she added. Having grown up in Odessa, Garcia said this is a place that's different from any other. Quote, I always feel like when I look at the kids, I feel like I see myself and it makes my job a lot easier. Then I feel like I'm able to advocate for what they need and what's best for them. And hopefully, one day I'll make it to where I can be in downtown administration in ECISD so that I make that full circle and I can truly advocate for those kids, Garcia said. Overall, she said, opportunity culture can transform the district. Other districts that have used opportunity culture have seen their data increase substantially, Garcia said. Quote, next year, we will continue to have one MCL, but we are adding what's called an MTRT, a Master Team Reach Teacher, and they are somebody who coaches one adult, and they see more students in their classroom. And it is a step up towards becoming an MCL. That teacher will be able to learn and grasp what it's like to coach one teacher and hopefully be able to transition into an MCL, Garcia said. She added that she loves coming full circle at ECISD and soaking in ideas from different people. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The Texas A&M AgriLife Extension has scheduled an agricultural law seminar, Key Legal Issues for Texas Landowners, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at two different locations, Ward County Extension Office, 3399 South Stockton Avenue in Monahans, and Winkler County Community Center, 444 South E Avenue in Kermit. This event will virtually feature Tiffany Dowell-Lashmit, Agricultural Law Specialist and Associate Professor and Extension. Topics will include understanding and evaluating carbon contracts, fence law reviews, and ag law hot topics. $10 at the door for each location. For more information, call 432-943-4112 in Monahans or 432-586-2593 in Kermit. Election Day is Tuesday for the general joint primary runoff election. The following locations will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. United Market, 1350 East 8th Street, Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church in the foyer at 1603 North Grandview Avenue, Gethsemane Church Fellowship Hall at 8431 South Highway 385, Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive, Market Street, 4950 East 42nd Street, MCM Elegante, Hawaiian Ballroom, 5200 East University Boulevard, Odessa Christian Faith Center, 180 Youth Building in the Sanctuary, 8828 Andrews Highway, Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clement Street, the Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road. For more information, call 432-498-4030 or visit tinyurl.com/2P8E2PF5. The Odessa Animal Control has scheduled Pups on the Patio event from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday at Bubba's 33, 6153 East Highway 191. Adoption fee is $25, includes spay and neuter, rabies shot, microchip, puppy shots, and NexGard. Cash only and valid driver's license is required. Visit tinyurl.com/YC7RSFE9. First United Methodist Church, 415 North Lee Avenue, has scheduled a family bash at 6 p.m. Wednesday in the Fellowship Center. To RSVP or for more information, call 432-337-1527 or visit fumcodessa.org.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. It's not all in the numbers. Dear Dr. Roach, I have a question for your column. What is the number of LDL cholesterol that would necessitate taking statins? I am an active 51-year-old female and weigh 126 pounds at 5 feet 2 inches tall. I eat a healthy diet and avoid trans fat. My total cholesterol is 260. LDL is 173 and HDL is 67. I have had high LDL since I was a teenager. My blood pressure is 123 over 77. My general practitioner prescribed a low-dose statin, Crestor 5 milligrams. My cardiologist said that statins will lower my cholesterol, but that does not ensure I will be protected from a heart attack or stroke. I do not want to take the statin. I have two close relatives who took statins. One suffered from Parkinson's without a family history of the disease. Another developed diabetes and had a heart attack at 66. I am on no other medication, and my blood pressure is good. Do you agree with my doctor? How risky is it if I don't take the statin? Answer. Statin drugs, like Crestor, certainly do lower cholesterol, and they do reduce the risk of a heart attack or stroke. Most experts believe that statins exert benefit both through reduction of LDL cholesterol and through other pathways, not yet precisely identified. However, like all medications, they have a risk of side effects.
Long marriage in jeopardy after man's lies revealed. Dear Abby, for Saturday. Dear Abby, I have recently discovered that for the last 7 years or more, my husband has been lying to avoid conflict. What he has been lying about greatly upsets me, but knowing he has lied about these things makes it worse than finding out the truth at the time things happened. The lies are about his relationships with his female friends. He has always had a wandering eye. He has lied so many times that I'm wondering what else he has lied about that I don't know about. I found out because he tells on himself without realizing what he has said. I am now questioning our whole life together. We have been together for 31 years, and I'm thinking our entire marriage has been built on his lies. When I confront him about it, he says he never said it, but he did. How do I live with a lying spouse? Lied to in Georgia. Dear Lied to, solid marriages are built on trust. Unfortunately, yours is lacking in that department. Your first task is to determine whether you want to remain married to a lying husband who attempts to gaslight you by denying he said something you clearly heard. It would be in your best interest to schedule some sessions with a licensed counselor who can help you to gain enough emotional strength to make that decision rationally rather than emotionally. If you decide to end your marriage, discuss this with an attorney before informing your husband so he or she can guide you in the process. Dear Abby, I'm the oldest of four children. I'm closest with my youngest sibling, Luann. I have not had a relationship with the other sister, Emily, for close to 10 years. I tried to reach out a few times and was rejected or received cold responses. My feelings toward Emily have grown numb. Emily now has some mental issues, and Luann, who does have a relationship with her, helps her almost to the extreme. She's now talking about relocating Emily from South Carolina to New Jersey and wants my help arranging it. Until 2 weeks ago, Emily lived on her own, as she had for many years. She's had some ups and downs, but Luann is treating this as though Emily is no longer able to care for herself. I'm having a hard time feeling compassion for Emily, and Luann is upset with me because I don't want to help. It's destroying our relationship. I tried to explain my feelings to her, but she keeps reminding me that this is about family, so I need to put my feelings aside. I feel torn and alone. Any advice? Challenged in the East. Dear Challenged, it might help to view this from a different perspective. Although you are distant from Emily, who you acknowledge has mental problems, you are close to Luann. If you maintain your current stance and refuse to help Luann, the entire responsibility of relocating Emily will fall on her shoulders, and it is quite a load. You would be doing a good deed by helping Luann with this burden she has assumed, and if you regard it this way, it may make taking on that responsibility easier for her.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.